Welcome to Shakespeare FC, the Sonnets, a five-minute journey into the iambic opinations on life, love, death, and desire, with a smattering of nature and naughtiness from the mind of our literary epicure from Warwickshire, or, as you become more familiar, Uncle Will. I'm your host, Kari Marshall. In his sonnets, Uncle Will wrote from a very personal place about the human condition, all in just 14 lines. But in that meager space, we can find an absolute wealth of human experience that you just might identify with. So, let's you and I go on a little journey. Today, Uncle Will is once again concerned with time and its ceaseless march forward. In the first quatrain of Sonnet 65, Uncle William gives in to the sad truth that faces us all, that mortality is a fact of our brief lives, and, by Elizabethan standards, considerably more brief than ours today, shall come to an end. He says that death is more powerful than brass, or stone, or the very earth itself, and even the vast and limitless ocean. And given that, how could we expect beauty to withstand time's rage, when it's as delicate as a fragile flower?
Since brass, nor stone, nor earth, nor boundless sea, but sad mortality, o'ersways their power, how with this rage shall beauty hold a plea, whose action is no stronger than a flower?
In the second quatrain, William moves on to the seasons, despairing that how could the sweet-scented summer air withstand the warlike onslaught of the coming winter, moving ever closer like an oncoming, unceasing army. It actually puts me in mind of the last episode of the seventh series in Game of Thrones, but that may just be me. He asks the question, as time breaks down rock and gates of steel, how possibly could beauty survive?
Oh, how shall summer's honey breath hold out gainst the wrackful siege of battering days, when rocks impregnable are not so stout, nor gates of steel so strong, but time decays?
In the third quatrain, William acknowledges that these thoughts are terrifying, wondering where could beauty, the thing that time prizes utmost, hide from ruin? What possible force could hold back time's relentless march forward? And who, wonders Will, would have the strength to stop time's rack and ruin of all things beautiful?
Oh, fearful meditation! Where, alack, shall time's best jewel from time's chest lie hid? Or what strong hand can hold his swift foot back? Or who his spoil of beauty can forbid?
In the final couplet, William returns to some well-trodden paths. He says that time is insurmountable. No one and nothing has the power to overcome it, unless this miracle, by which he humbly means his poetry, this miracle will contain his love and will outlast time, shining brightly through the black ink of his quill.
Oh, none, unless this miracle have might, that in black ink my love may still shine bright.
It seems now at this point that Uncle Will is rather obsessed with aging and the loss of youth's beauty. The images he uses are bellicose, time as a marching army capable of destroying all in its path, battering stone and steel. But there is hope here. He asks, where can love and beauty hide from time's destruction? And it is here, before him, he finds the answer. In the very ink, he writes. He says that the miracle of poetry is such that the beauty contained within it will not only survive time's destruction, but will from black ink shine ever so brightly. It would seem that Uncle Will was ahead of his time by about 150 years, thinking that the pen was mightier than the sword. Well, alas and alack, my friends, that is all we have time for. Join us again next time for another hopefully informative journey into the mind of Uncle William. I'm Kari Marshall. Farewell until next time. Shakespeare FC is a production of WGTE Public Media. You can learn more and download all episodes at wgte.org/sfc or wherever you get your podcasts.